parent.
40 seconds to program.
The mysteries of the unknown, UFOs, alien abductions, wonders of the world, ancient archaeology, ghosts, apparitions, secret military projects, futuristic science, government cover-ups, hoaxes and frauds. Join us as we embark on another edition of the Paranet Continuum. Answering questions and questioning answers. Here's your host, the director of Paranet Information Services, Michael Corbin.
And good evening and welcome to this edition of the Paranet Continuum, home of common sense, no-nonsense paranormal talk radio. Well, tonight we have a very interesting guest and one I've interviewed a couple of times before on this program and someone who's very informed on some of the more covert, insidious, dark stuff going on in the mind control arena. And tonight we're going to talk about his new book that's come out. It's now making its way to major bookstores as we speak. It's called The Covert War Against Rock. And we're going to talk about that tonight with my guest. Now, before we get started, I want to give out a couple of telephone numbers that you can call if you want to reach us tonight to join in on the program. The first number is 303-367-1116, 303-367-1116. And the other number to call is 303-326-1115. That's 303-326-1115. Now, this is kind of an interesting topic, and we're going to cover this as well as the infamous death of a girl here in the local metro area of Denver, Colorado, actually more specifically Boulder, Colorado, that JonBenet Ramsey 3 years ago was killed in her parents' home, and they've never gotten to the bottom of that, although Alex has some very interesting information about the about some of the stuff that might have gone on behind the scenes, if you will. But before we get to that, we're going to talk about rock musicians, and actually the best of them have been outspoken proponents for social change, but through their celebrity and alternative lifestyles, they're also easy targets for mob exploitation and pursuit by government intelligence agencies. The FBI's counterinsurgent program, COINTELPRO, and the CIA's illegal domestic Operation Chaos were both designed to stop the dissent that rock music reflected. And we're going to be talking with the author, Alex Constantine, and it's my pleasure to welcome Alex to the program tonight. Good evening, Alex, and thanks
Hello,
for being
Michael.
With us.
Hello, Michael. You know, I hate to complain, but I can barely hear you.
You can barely hear me?
Yes.
Okay, let me see what we can do while we go along here. Let's start out by talking about the book that you've published, The Covert War Against Rock.
Right. Well, it's subtitled, What You Don't Know About the Deaths of Jim Morrison, Tupac Shakur, Michael Hutchence, Brian Jones, Jimi Hendrix, Phil Oakes, Bob Marley, Peter Tosh, John Lennon, and the Notorious B.I.G. And in each one of these cases, I dug as deeply as I could I've been collecting material for a period of 10 years. And what I wanted to do is take evidence that's been submerged and suppressed and put it back on the historical record.
Okay, bro, that's a good place to start. Now, you're alleging or saying that in your research that you have come across that Jim Morrison, for example, we know, did he commit suicide?
Jim Morrison is undetermined. As a matter of fact, the autopsy record is still suppressed in Paris, France. And in fact, there was only just a very meager autopsy done, as a matter of fact, in violation of French custom and possibly French law. Now, there was a Norwegian newspaper that reported that French intelligence agents had on several occasions attempted to assassinate Jim Morrison, but no one's been brought to task for that. As a matter of fact, we haven't seen any of this information in newspapers in the United States.
Now, isn't there some allegations even that Jim Morrison may still be alive or never really died?
Well, that's a bit of disinformation that began with a book that was put out under Jim Morrison's name back in the 1970s. And supposedly, Jim Morrison authored this book on his, afterlife at the Bank of America. And that was a bit of disinformation that was put out there to get people asking the wrong questions. It was a false dialectic. And the question isn't, is Jim Morrison still alive? It's who killed him. That's the proper question.
What have you found about his death, his murder?
Well, it's what I've done is pieced together evidence from various people, including members of the band who, of course, had an interest in his death, and biographies and so forth, to show that the intelligence services had great interest in Jim Morrison. As a matter of fact, they wanted him dead more than any of the other musicians in the book. And the reason was that he was politically outspoken. He was an anarchist. He believed in political chaos. And as a result, he was followed by the FBI everywhere he went. In fact, I don't think he made a move that wasn't under surveillance. And every chance they got, they would serve him with a subpoena or, you know, just give him generally a hard time. As a matter of fact, it was because of the FBI harassment that Jim Morrison picked up and moved to Paris, where he died.
Now, let me ask you this before we go too much further into these deaths and things. Let's refresh the audience regarding these two programs that are mentioned, COINTELPRO and Operation Chaos, because one of the things that we do know is that Operation Chaos was very illegal because it was a domestic intelligence program that was carried out by the CIA, which we know conclusively really did happen.
Right.
But kind of bring us up to speed on what COINTELPRO and Operation Chaos
First of all, Chaos was the most massive intelligence operation the CIA had ever conducted. And it drawed upon the other intelligence agencies, including the FBI and COINTELPRO. As far as the public is concerned, both of these operations were surveillance programs, but within Chaos there was an assassination program. And this hasn't been reported anywhere until now. COINTELPRO, you may be familiar with Geronimo Pratt. Here's a typical operation. Two leftists are killed on a Santa Monica tennis court, and then Geronimo Pratt, who was a Black Panther, was framed for the murder. Police and witnesses lied on the stand. Geronimo Pratt served 30 years in prison, and he's recently been released, and he sued the LAPD here for $4 million and was recently awarded that judgment.
Really?
And Pratt has come to the conclusion that it wasn't COINTELPRO so much as Chaos that was involved in his false imprisonment.
Now, let me ask you this, because I see that one of the chapters in your book deals with the death of Cass Elliot, who back in my younger days I was real fond of. You know, the Mamas and the Papas, I really enjoyed their music. But one of the things I find really interesting is that in my research, I found that, like, for example, the people that were kind of hanging around the Tates, Polanskis, and those type of people, the authors that wrote those books, forgive me, I can't remember the guy's name now.
Are you thinking of Maury Terry?
Well, Maury Terry was one of them, but the other fellow that wrote about Manson, the family, was called The Family.
Right.
But anyway, he mentioned that far back in his book that there was kind of a feeling among himself and his research that he was doing at the time that some intelligence group was involved with some of these people.
Now, you're talking about Ed Sanders?
Ed Sanders, yes.
Yeah, yes, a lot of interesting information has come this way from Ed Sanders. Cass Elliot, a lot of unknown facts about her. By marriage, she was a German. Well, she was part of royalty. She had married into it, as a matter of fact. And she had a lot of unsavory people entering her life, including Charles Manson.
Right. I guess she had a lot of people coming and going from her house.
Right.
Was she involved in distribution of drugs?
I don't believe that she was, but she had political ambitions, and I believe that she heard and saw too much, and that's why she was murdered.
Okay.
That's my belief.
All right. Hold that thought. We're going to take a break. Alex Constantine is my guest tonight. We're talking about the covert war against rock, and a little bit later on in the program, right, we're going to talk about some mysterious circumstances that surround the death of JonBenet Ramsey in Boulder in 1997, a murder that is, I call it a murder. A lot of people do call it a murder. It's never been solved, and we're still trying to figure out who done it. 303-367-1116, 303-367-1116. We'll be back after this. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Fahrenheit Continuum.
Who says you can't get something for nothing? The Paranet catalog contains detailed descriptions of all of the Paranet radio shows produced since April of 1994 and shows you how you can order them on audio cassette for as little as $5 each. Are you on the World Wide Web? You can join Paranet and get access to over 30 megabytes of text files and pictures, as well as real audio access to all of our past radio shows. Members also receive a subscription to Continuum, Paranet's quarterly magazine. The catalog shows you how to join. The Paranet catalog also has special book offers, t-shirts and sweatshirts with alien and outer space themes, and much more. And the catalog is yours free. Call now 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381 for your free copy of the Paranet catalog. That's 1-800-836-6381. Paranet wants you to know. Did you know that Paranet Information Services was the first comprehensive paranormal and UFO information service of record? In 1986, Paranet was launched as an electronic news and information service dedicated to answering questions and questioning answers. Since Paranet's launch, we've expanded to a truly global organization linking research and investigative groups via our computer network, now on the Internet. This radio program is a mere extension of the vast knowledge base and experience Paranet has gained through thorough and timely reporting on events throughout the globe. Michael Corbin, Paranet's director, brings 10 years' experience to the Paranet Continuum. This program offers something that others can't and don't, an extensive focus on these issues. To learn more about Paranet, you can contact us toll-free at 1-800-836-6381 or visit our website at www.paranet.org/paranet.
Or you can call 303-326-1115. My guest tonight is Alex Constantine. We're talking about the covert war against rock. And Alex, I want to go back to Cass Elliot, if we could, for just a moment.
Good.
Tell us a little bit about her and kind of fill us in on what she knew and why she would become a target.
Well, I mentioned that she was a German baroness by marriage. As a matter of fact, she was married to a homosexual artist and ended up divorced. And then she became engaged to a man by the name of Pick Dawson, who had a father inside the State Department.
Right.
And Pick Dawson was under investigation for international drug smuggling, among other things. And I believe that's what she knew about.
Was she going to spill the beans on this, or
I'm sorry, what's that?
Was she going to spill the beans on this? Was she going to talk
about it? Yeah, I believe that that's what they were afraid she was going to do. Also, Nixon, as you know, is a very paranoid man. And as I mentioned, Cass Elliot had political ambitions. She was considering running for the Senate. And, you know, she had exactly the sort of profile that would bring her under FBI surveillance, and that's exactly what happened. The Nixon administration became very interested in her activities and ordered up further surveillance, and then very soon she ended up dead.
Now, what was Operation Chaos?
Operation Chaos, as I mentioned, was the most massive operation the CIA had ever conducted. It grew to pace the anti-war movement of the 1960s. And it managed to break up the underground press. You may have read about that.
Uh-huh.
There was massive surveillance. There was frames. There was assassinations. The FBI, as a matter of fact, assassinated 28 Black Panthers in cold blood. And that's the sort of thing that was going on under COINTELPRO and Chaos.
Now, when you mentioned 28 Black Panthers, was that the Patty Hearst deal?
Pardon me?
Was that related to the Patty Hearst deal?
Well, this was, they were definitely afraid of the Black Panthers and what they represented. So they're discredited and put down and infiltrated and co-opted and killed at every turn.
Okay.
That goes right up to Tupac Shakur, as a matter of fact, who had his own little Black Panther group going. He was, by his family, as a matter of fact, were Black Panthers, and most of them are sitting in prison. And he was continuing that legacy, and so he was targeted and eventually shot.
Wow, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, well, the book goes into it, and we can talk about it if you like.
Let's go ahead, sure.
Yeah, now in my book I mentioned that the LAPD, an undercover operation, took out Tupac Shakur, and I wrote this about a year ago, and only about 4 months ago the LA Times came out with a front page story that identified an LAPD officer as the killer of Tupac Shakur. So I knew I was on the right track.
Really?
Yeah, and Notorious B.I.G. And they've been, you know, they've been blowing a lot of disinformation around this case, and it's got people very confused. But
was the L.A. police officer identified by name?
Yes.
And was he brought to justice?
He's already in prison.
Ah.
And he is not being brought to justice. Nor are the, there were maybe a dozen officers, intelligence officers from New York and the LAPD who were involved in the assassination. They've all clammed up. They're not offering any details. And the establishment itself is covering for them.
Now, why would they, you know, you mentioned that Tupac Shakur was a offspring of two Black Panthers.
Yes.
And he was himself organizing something or had something organized? Or?
He had his own Black Panther chapter.
What were the circumstances around his death? Was he gunned down?
Yes, he was. In Las Vegas at a stoplight. And the question is, how did they know he was going to be at that stoplight?
Uh-huh.
Supposedly, it was a gang killing. They rounded up, they arrested somebody for the murder. As a matter of fact, the man that they arrested was an honors student. He was not a gang member. He was not into drugs. He didn't even smoke, you know.
Uh-huh.
He did not have the profile of a gang member at, you know, by any means, but the local LAPD identified this guy as the killer of Tupac Shakur, very quietly let him go the next day, and soon he was dead.
Really? The kid was dead?
Pardon me?
The kid that they
arrested? Yeah, the kid that they arrested and publicly accused of killing Tupac, and he had nothing to do with it.
How did the L.A. police officer come into it? Or did he stand trial for this, or was it for something?
No. Was he was just considered a suspect
was
at
this
point, the leading suspect in the killing of Tupac Shakur. But this has taken years to come out. In the meantime, they've been pointing the fingers at Shug Knight and at other people. And they still sort of maintain that Shug Knight had something to do with it. But if you look at the evidence, I think you have to be convinced that the LAPD did it.
Huh.
And now, you know, since I wrote this book, we've had the Rampart scandal. We've had some 30 people who've been freed because they've been falsely accused by the Ramparts Division. Major lawsuits. Totaling possibly $40 million so far. And the investigation is spreading into other divisions.
Okay. Now, let's go back to Jim Morrison, because you have a chapter in the book that talks about the investigative findings regarding his death.
Right.
What about them?
Well, let's take a look at his death. It was called a heart failure, but the man died with a smile on his face,
uh-huh.
And he had blood trickling from his nose. Those aren't indications of a heart failure.
Okay.
Whatever that means, I mean, are we to assume that his heart just stopped or that he had a heart attack? If he had a heart attack, you would expect him to have thrashed around. There was no indication of that. So I think we have to rule out a heart failure as the cause of death.
Do we know anything else about his death?
Well, we do know that, as I mentioned, there were previous attempts on his life by French intelligence. And I've looked into the history of French intelligence, and at this stage they were working very closely with the CIA.
Uh-huh.
So they would have done it on their behalf.
Wow. Wow. Now, what about Jimi Hendrix?
Yeah, Jimi Hendrix is a very pathetic case, because here you have a virtuoso who's not allowed to really to achieve as much as he possibly could. In fact, he was held back at every turn by his manager, a man by the name of Michael Jeffrey. You look into the background of Michael Jeffrey, you find it just stops at one point, and there's just no more to know, because he was working for military intelligence for the UK. He had been stationed in the Middle East. He also had very close mafia ties, which makes him a very unusual manager. And he subverted Jimi Hendrix's life. He had him kidnapped and held for 3 days. He was stealing money. As a matter of fact, most of the money that Hendrix earned was stolen by Michael Jeffrey.
Really? Now,
yes.
Was there any relationship to the death of Janis Joplin?
I don't go into Janis Joplin. And that's because I'm saving her for the next book.
Okay.
If indeed she was murdered, I'm not convinced that she was, and that's why she doesn't appear in this book.
All right. What other interesting people, famous people, are we dealing with here in this?
Let's see. We've got Brian Jones. And for some 20 years, if you mentioned that Brian Jones had been murdered, people would ridicule you, because everybody just knew that Brian Jones was doing too many drugs and drowned. Well, as a matter of fact, Brian Jones hadn't done any drugs for 30 days before his death. And since his death, the killer, on his deathbed, confessed to murdering Brian Jones, and 4 witnesses have come forward.
Who was Brian Jones?
Brian Jones was the founder of the Rolling Stones.
Oh, okay. Hold that thought. When we come back, we'll pick up where we left off. Our number tonight is 303-367-1116, 303-367-1116. Alex Constantine is my guest. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Paranet Continuum. We'll be right back.
Paranet wants you to know. The Paranet Continuum has been on the air for more than 4 years, and we couldn't have done it without your support, so this is our way of saying thanks. If you've been listening for a while, you're familiar with our skeptical believer approach to this whole paranormal business. Yes, there are plenty of very strange things going on that science, government, and a variety of belief systems have trouble explaining, and we're not here to flatly debunk everything. We just don't buy into many of the more popular explanations for these phenomena, and we think some more critical thinking is needed. This makes us very unique in a world where the paranormal seems to be everywhere in the media, on TV, other talk shows, and big-budget movies. And some of the wildest explanations seem to get the most attention. Many people like our approach. Of course, others are mad at us. Oh well. With your continuing support of this radio show, our website, and Continuum magazine, we hope to keep everybody thinking and talking well into the future. Again, thanks. We are Paranet Information Services.
Paranet has been on the information superhighway since before there was an internet. And during the last 11 years, we've collected an incredible amount of information on UFOs and the paranormal, and you can see all of it on our website. The address is www.paranet.org/paranet. See what Michael Corbin really looks like. Is he a modern-day Orson Welles? Or go to our news page and keep up with the latest happenings in ufology and the paranormal. Click on other interesting sites from our links page. File a UFO sighting report. Read about Continuum magazine. See the Paranet radio studio. Download free pictures of UFOs. Join Paranet online using your Visa or MasterCard. You'll be authorized within minutes to see all 30 megabytes of files and pictures and nearly 200 real audio files of the Paranet Continuum radio shows dating back to April of 1994. You'll find it all at the Paranet website at www.paranet.org/paranet.
Is our number 303-367-1116. My guest tonight is Alex Constantine. He's just published a new book called The Covert War Against Rock. And just as a reminder, Alex has written voluminously on the military-industrial complex mind control research that's been done and then a variety of other things, and has become quite knowledgeable on some of these plots and things that we're hearing about today. Virtual Government was your last book before this one, wasn't it, Alex?
Yeah, that came out in 1997.
97, and then before that was Psychic Dictatorship.
Yes, that came out in 95.
Those were both excellent books, I thought.
Thank you very much.
I'm sure this one is going to be equally as good. Now, let's see. when we were talking about Brian Jones before we went to break, you said he was the organizer, the founder of the Rolling Stones.
He was a founding member of the Rolling Stones. He was drowned. Great tragedy. Since that time, people have been blaming the victim as if he was on drugs. As a matter of fact, he was too paranoid to take drugs because he was being followed by local police everywhere he went. They parked outside of his house. They tried to set him up for arrest. Two other members of the Rolling Stones, Keith Richards and Mick Jagger, were at that time had actually been set up by the CIA and were awaiting trial. So Brian Jones was a very fearful young man at the time.
How old was he when he
died? Very strange people around him, very violent people, and they ended up killing him.
How old was he when he died?
That's a good question. I'm not sure about that without looking.
Okay. All right. Now, I noticed on another chapter that you've got, I'm kind of going down this list of chapters that you've got in this book, because I see some names that I recognize, of course, the Baez-Contras and the death of Phil Oakes.
Phil Oakes.
Phil Oakes, I'm sorry. What's the behind that?
Well, Phil Oakes was the second most popular folk singer in the country after Bob Dylan. But he was very vocal in his politics. He hated Nixon. He was involved with the Yippies. And as a matter of fact, it was his pig that was nominated for president during the Chicago convention.
Really?
And after that, he was blackballed. So he didn't continue to sell albums, but he did concerts. And his career was also sabotaged. There was heavy surveillance on him. He knew it. He spoke about it often. He knew the CIA was on his case. And he developed a multiple personality, which makes him the second person among this small group of folk singers with multiple personalities.
Who was the other one?
The other was Joan Baez, because she had been tortured as a child. She was involved in ritual abuse as a young girl.
Really?
Yes, she was. She has discussed this in letters that she sent to a researcher by the name of Alan Shefflin, who's written a very good book on mind control, and another to a mind control organization up in Canada. And the head of that organization contacted me and sent me the letters. And so I mentioned in the book, I don't go into detail because she hasn't chosen to discuss it herself, but it's such an important issue that I really believe that it should be known that she was ritually abused as a child. She's been in psychotherapy all of her adult life, and I believe that her anger at the government begins with that trauma.
Let me ask you this real quick about Joan Baez, because is it not true that her father was a military person?
Yes, he was.
Was he?
He was stationed at Cornell, which, as a matter of fact, was the home base of the CIA's mind control operation.
Is it possible that this could be a generational thing with her? Or?
It's possible. I really couldn't say. I don't know the details, and I don't know how much to discuss. You know, I'd rather that she discuss it.
Right.
Point.
Sure. Now, going back to Phil Oakes, now, he was also, he developed multiple personality disorder, or had he had it all of his life?
No, he developed it, and he came to believe that his name was John Train, and it was only 10 years later that John Train was exposed, and his job at the time was disrupting the left for the CIA, which is pretty interesting coincidence.
Now, how does that figure into him?
Well, he became a right winger, as a matter of fact, total personality change.
Phil Oakes did.
Uh-huh. And this all begins at the culmination of the Candy Jones experiment. You may be familiar with
that.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
Well, the final command that Candy Jones had was to kill herself. And they developed an alter personality, and the alter was programmed to kill the host, and if not for the intervention of her husband, Long John Neville, the talk show host, she might have gone through with it. Well, it's at this stage that Phil Oakes develops a multiple personality and tries to accomplish the same thing. As a matter of fact, he committed suicide by hanging, and it's very possible that it was the alter personality that hung the host.
That's very, very interesting.
Yeah, it is. It really is. If you put all the pieces together, it's really hard in a two-hour radio program like this to really get into the details.
Right.
He believed he was working for the CIA. He had this lifelong hatred for William Colby and the CIA and their nefarious programs around the world, and I believe that's why he became targeted.
Now,
this was a mind control operation. That's exactly what Joan Baez had been involved in.
What,
and other people, you know, people in this group had a way of dying early. There was Joan Baez's brother-in-law, Richard Farina, who died in a motorcycle accident.
Right.
And then this was 3 months away from Bob Dylan's motorcycle accident. It took him a year to recuperate. He broke his neck. And
Bob Dylan, has he ever talked about the circumstances around his accident?
No, he's never really come out and discussed it. But after the accident, he announced that he was no longer going to be political. He had no more interest in doing anything political. And he started doing country and western music.
So a lot of people would draw perhaps a conclusion that maybe somebody got to him.
Well, it's very possible. There are a lot of coincidences going on within this group. Also, there has been CIA operations that have been exposed by biographers and by Joan Baez herself. When she was in Japan, she was mistranslated because the translator was threatened by a CIA operative who said that he would murder the translator's child if he didn't mistranslate and water down the comments made by Joan Baez.
And her comments, I take it, were probably pretty political.
Pardon me?
Her comments were very political.
Oh, yeah. She comes out around the age of 17 and hits those coffee houses and starts singing about the government. And then Bob Dylan also comes along, and they become very intimate, and he's singing about the masters of war, and you can see how they became political targets.
Now, I want to kind of back into this a little bit, because we're talking about this, that era and everything, but have you ever found any evidence that that the Beatles, for example...
That what?
That the Beatles.
The Beatles.
Yes.
Okay.
Did you ever run across any evidence in your research that the Beatles were... a product of Tavistock?
No, I haven't. That's the Lyndon LaRouche line.
Oh, it is.
And what I have to say about Lyndon LaRouche is you can believe about 70% of what he has to say, and the rest of it is just pure junk.
Okay. What about, you mentioned something about the death of John Lennon.
Right.
This
is really fascinating. There was, I forget the exact year, around 1974, Playboy came out with an article about something called Project Walrus, which was the infiltration of John Lennon's household. And for a year, they stole his personal diaries, journals, artwork, all sorts of things. And his diaries were actually altered, right, forged. So those diaries of John Lennon are useless to history because you don't know what information in there is real and how much of it was just bunk that was put in there by the Operation Walrus people.
Uh-huh.
Yoko Ono has been targeted for assassination about a half a dozen times. There have been that many attempts on her life, and yet the media doesn't seem to take any interest in this. John Lennon, like I say, had all these people around him within his household who were stealing personal artifacts. And then along comes Mark David Chapman, who claimed that John Lennon was a phony and then blew him away. Well, the whole point of Project Walrus was to discredit John Lennon and to lead the public to believe that he was a phony. So it's interesting that Mark David Chapman should have this outspoken belief about
him. Yeah, yep. Right. Hold that thought. When we come back, I want to pick up on Mark David Chapman a little bit, too, because there's some things that I've heard. I want to ask you about them.
Right.
303-367-1116, 303-367-1116. My guest tonight is Alex Constantine. Very interesting discussion. Oh, I'll tell you it is, too. A lot of things bring my memory, of course, because I'm about that age, too, where I remember these people. We'll be right back after this. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Paranet Continuum. We'll be right back.
Paranet wants you to know. Did you know that Paranet Information Services was the first comprehensive paranormal and UFO information service of record? In 1986, Paranet was launched as an electronic news and information service dedicated to answering questions and questioning answers. Since Paranet's launch, we've expanded to a truly global organization linking research and investigative groups via our computer network, now on the Internet. This radio program is a mere extension of the vast knowledge base and experience Paranet has gained through thorough and timely reporting on events throughout the globe. Michael Corbin, Paranet's director, brings 10 years' experience to the Paranet Continuum. This program offers something that others can't and don't, an extensive focus on these issues. To learn more about Paranet, you can contact us toll-free at 1-800-836-6381. Or visit our website at www.paranet.org/paranet.
A lot of people think that to appreciate culture, you've got to enjoy things like this. Or this. In early Mesopotamia, evidence of the first audit exists in the form of lists on clay tablets. Well, a lot of people respond to those things like this. Fabulous. Other people go, is it over? For those of you in the category, you can't expect every cultural activity to appeal to everybody. That's why 23,000 arts and humanities groups called the National Cultural Alliance are offering you something everybody likes. A choice! For a free brochure about what's going on in your community, just call 800-NCA-8888. A little redundant? That's okay. And then you could get excited about something like this. Oh, yeah. William Salito. The arts and humanities. There's something in it for you. The National Cultural Alliance and the Ad Council invite you to explore what's available in your community. Just call 800-NCA-8888.
Is our number 303-367-1116. My guest tonight is Alex Constantine, and we're talking about his new book that is just coming out called The Covert War Against Rock. And there's a surprising list of names on this list of rock musicians and famous celebrity type people who have that Alex is writing about that we have reasons, or been given reason to believe that they died either through suicide or drug overdose or whatever, but we're finding out that they may in fact have been murdered. Now, Alex, before we went to break, we were talking about John Lennon and his household being infiltrated by intelligence types who were stealing his personal artifacts and things like that. And then we talked about Mark David Chapman, the guy that was ultimately arrested and charged and convicted of the murder of John Lennon. Can you tell us a little bit about Mark David Chapman? Like, for example, is there any truth to the idea that he came from some mysterious place as well?
Well, Mark David Chapman came out of Hawaii. That was his last place of residence.
Uh-huh.
He was into worshiping the devil at the time, and he was hearing voices, not unlike Son of Sam,
right.
David Berkowitz.
Right.
And it's interesting now, I have this rule of thumb that the cover-up proves the conspiracy. Now, Mark David Chapman appeared in front of the judge. His name was Justice Herbert Altman on January 6, 1981.
Uh-huh.
And at that time, three psychiatrists were brought in to appraise the sanity of Mark David Chapman.
Right.
The first was Dr. Milton Klein, who came out of New York. He ran a prestigious clinical psychiatric office. He was the president of the American Society for Clinical and Experimental Hypnosis. And he often boasted that he could create a so-called Manchurian candidate killer within 6 months.
No kidding.
He also worked with the CIA, if you want to look him up. The second psychiatrist they brought in was a guy by the name of Dr. Bernard Diamond from the University of California at Berkeley. And Dr. Diamond was the psychiatrist who appointed Sirhan. And if you know much about the Robert Kennedy assassination, it really doesn't take much to conclude that Sirhan had nothing to do with Kennedy.
Right.
Kennedy was shot twice in the back and once right behind the ear. Sirhan was standing in front of him, so it's impossible that he killed Robert Kennedy.
Right.
The third psychiatrist brought in was a guy by the name of Dr. Daniel Schwartz. Now, all three of these psychiatrists were attached to the CIA. And so his diagnosis was as phony as it's a $3 bill.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I mentioned David Berkowitz. It was Dr. Schwartz who appraised the sanity of Son of Sam.
No kidding. These are very interesting factoids. I never even knew that.
Well, yeah, you find a lot of connections in these stories.
Now,
names keep resurfacing and you get to be familiar with them.
Let me ask you this. Have you heard the story? Now, I don't know whether it's true or not, but I'm curious what your knowledge is about it. But I heard that Mark David Chapman came from the same. Was he an orphan?
I'm not sure about the orphan part. That's a good question.
I heard that he had come from the same orphanage or something related to, that Berkowitz came from.
It's possible. I really don't know about that. I was more interested in his actions as an adult.
Sure.
But he had some. He was in the Middle East for a little while. He worked with the YMCA. A lot of conspiracy researchers have believe that a period that he spent with World Visions might have something to do with the assassination.
What is World Visions?
World Visions is a worldwide charity. They go around the world during disasters and so forth.
Uh-huh.
They're Christian based, and they also have a history of alignment with the CIA. So some people have concluded there was some connection there.
Well, that's very, very interesting. Now I'm curious. And we're talking about these different people. You also have a chapter in your book about who killed the Kennedys and Salminio.
Robert Kennedy.
Okay.
Yeah, because these two murders are connected through a gangster who I believe hasn't had enough attention in the killing of Robert Kennedy, and that was a gangster by the name of Mickey Cohen, who was supposedly a former hitman for the mafia.
Right.
And I've looked back, I've looked at killings in the 1950s in Hollywood and believe that Mickey Cohen was involved in those. He's never really come out to talk too much about who he killed for the mafia.
Right.
But I believe that he was connected to the killing of Salminio. And I have no doubt about the killing of Robert Kennedy. Sirhan had two lawyers. Both of them were good friends of Mickey Cohen. Everybody he was involved with was friends with Mickey Cohen. His sponsorship at the racetrack.
Right.
Good friend of Mickey Cohen. And Arthur Bremer's sister was there, as a matter of fact.
Really?
An interesting connection.
Uh-huh.
Arthur Bremer, of course, attempted the assassination of George Wallace.
They just keep coming, don't they?
Yes, they really do, don't they?
It sure do, they sure do. Now, I'm curious about the connection of the process.
Yeah, the process church.
Yeah. How does that figure in at all in any of this?
Well, they claimed that Charles Manson was their boy. It was a group of they were quasi-religious. They were a spin-off of Scientology. The Process Church had a third, one faction of that church was into devil worship. And so there are suspicions that they were involved with some of the activities of Charles Manson, and certainly had a role in inculcating him in their ideology.
Okay. Hold that thought. We'll come back to that in just a moment. Also, we're going to tell you where the website is where you can order a copy of the book that Alex has just published. Farrell House is the publisher, actually, and Alex authored it. The book is called The Covert War Against Rock. And like I said, when we come back, we'll get the website and all of that. And we've got another hour coming up with Alex, too, and we're going to get into the JonBenet Ramsey murder in Boulder, Colorado in 97, because there's a lot of interesting stuff on that, too. 303-367-1116, 303-367-1116. We'll be right back after this. Stay tuned.
Says you can't get something for nothing. The Paranet catalog contains detailed descriptions of all of the Paranet radio shows produced since April of 1994 and shows you how you can order them on audio cassette for as little as $5 each. Are you on the World Wide Web? You can join Paranet and get access to over 30 megabytes of text files and pictures, as well as real audio access to all of our past radio shows. Members also receive a subscription to Continuum, Paranet's quarterly magazine. The catalog shows you how to join. The Paranet catalog also has special book offers, t-shirts and sweatshirts with alien and outer space themes, and much more. And the catalog is yours free. Call now 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381 for your free copy of the Paranet catalog. That's 1-800-836-6381. Paranet wants you to know. The Paranet Continuum has been on the air for more than 4 years, and we couldn't have done it without your support, so this is our way of saying thanks. If you've been listening for a while, you're familiar with our skeptical believer approach to this whole paranormal business. Yes, there are plenty of very strange things going on that science, government, and a variety of belief systems have trouble explaining, and we're not here to flatly debunk everything. We just don't buy into many of the more popular explanations for these phenomena, and we think some more critical thinking is needed. This makes us very unique in a world where the paranormal seems to be everywhere in the media, on TV, other talk shows, and big-budget movies. And some of the wildest explanations seem to get the most attention. Many people like our approach. Of course, others are mad at us. Oh well. With your continuing support of this radio show, our website, and Continuum magazine, we hope to keep everybody thinking and talking well into the future. Again, thanks. We are Paranet Information Services.
Got it.
303-367-1116. Alex Constantine is my guest. And Alex, before we run out of time on this first hour, I want to ask you about your last chapter of the book. It's titled Dancing on the Jetty, The Death of Michael Hutchins. What about his death?
Yeah, it's another fascinating case. Here you have a man who was found hanging, and it's attributed to autoerotic asphyxiation.
Right.
But the newspapers, by and large, don't bother to report that he had a broken hand and a split lip and contusions all over his body, as if he'd been beaten up with a baseball bat.
Wow.
Now, why the newspapers don't find this interesting, I think, is interesting itself. But we can get into that at some other time. Michael Hutchins believed that he was worth 28 million pounds. As a matter of fact, he wasn't worth 1 cent because the mafia ran off with all his money.
Now, his family or his brother does not buy into any of it, does he?
I don't blame him. The Australian newspapers have reported some of this. There's been some court attention that came as a result of the parents filing to collect on the will. And once they got to the courtroom, they found out that there was no money because the mafia had absconded with all of it.
Has anybody ever been brought to justice on that as far as stealing the money or whatever they did?
To date, I don't believe anybody has been brought to court or anything. Much of this took place overseas. His money was put into secret accounts in the Caribbean, in Hong Kong, in the United States, and it was taken out of the country, and I don't know that money can ever be touched.
Yeah, right.
Now, they had the mafia, the Calabrese mafia, as a matter of fact, had a bowling alley that on paper belonged to Michael Hutchins, but the mafia was running the place, and it was a distribution point for heroin and cocaine.
Wow. Okay.
Now, all this is going on in the background of Michael Hutchins' life, but the press isn't really considering
it. They're not
touching it. Or anything.
Okay. Hey, hang on, Alex. You got about 8 minutes before we rejoin, and we'll talk about the death of JonBenet Ramsey in the next hour.
All right.
Again, my guest is Alex Constantine. The book is The Covert War Against Rock, and you can go to the website at www.feralhouse.com and order a copy of this book. Or you can get it in bookstores all across the country, and I highly recommend it. Got another hour coming up, and again, we're going to talk about the death of JonBenet Ramsey with Alex Constantine, so stay tuned for that, and we'll be back after this. You're listening to the Paranet Continuum. We'll be right back.